And joining us this morning is Cam Gaberline. She is a senior marketing director for Bill Jack Foods, here to talk about New Year's resolutions for your pet.
And Cam, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you with us this morning. So we were discussing, you know, in preparation for the interview, we've been talking, asking people about their New Year's resolutions. And we've been discussing the kinds of resolutions you could make for a pet. And we figured, like, hamsters, you know, they tend to get a little fat, so getting them on the wheel more might be a good resolution for them. And maybe training your dog. But we were having a hard time, like, cats. I don't know what kind of resolution you make for a cat, because they kind of just do what they want to do.
One listener had a suggestion for the cat to make a resolution, is to quit knocking things off the walls and
the shelves and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make it for them, but they really have to choose to make that resolution themselves, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what's tell us about why'd you come up with this list or this concept of resolutions for pets?
Yeah, you know, we really feel like, you know, as the humans, right, for our dogs and our cats, we're the ones who are responsible for taking care of them, and they can't make their own resolutions, and a lot of times they don't have control, right, over the food they feed or how much exercise they get or how well-trained they are. And so it's really important for us to kind of, you know, as we step back and think about ourselves, think about what are one or two things we could do for them that we could really focus on that would help them, you know, be a healthier, safer pet this year.
What are some of the probably the tops on the list that, because earlier we found out, you know, the biggest resolutions that people make for themselves. What are the top things that we really should consider for our pets?
Yeah, you know, one of the things to think about is training. You know, when you have a well-trained dog, it's really great for the household because everybody kind of knows what to expect, but it also helps keep them safe, right? You know, having the basic commands like stay or drop it, you know, so that they don't eat something that they're not supposed to, or to come or to get down. You know, those are kind of some key things. So if you haven't spent some time with them, maybe it's time to kind of brush off those skills, you know, practice them, maybe go to a class. You know, that could be one of your resolutions. You know, certainly their ID tags, right? So if you have an ID tag, is it up to date?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us forget about updating our address or maybe the phone number, if there's a phone number on there. If you have a microchip pet, you know, you might want to be able to, you know, get online and update that information online so that in case, again, they should get out of the house or go missing, you're able to get them back. It could be that, you know, brushing their teeth is a big thing. You know, not always an easy thing for dogs or cats, but certainly if you can get in there, you know, long-term dental issues can cause more serious health concerns. So, you know, if you can brush your teeth, there's so many products out there nowadays that you can certainly, there's things you can put in their water that can help with their teeth, you know, those kinds of things. And then, of course, just like us, you know, weight, how are they doing weight-wise? I know that the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention has done some studies over the last few years, and what we continue to see is that pet obesity is going up, both for dogs and for cats. So it's really important to, you know, kind of take a look at what food are you feeding. You know, should you be feeding a reduced fat food? You know, for example, at Bill Jack, we make a reduced fat dog food formula that's 30% less fat than our regular food. So that's one easy way to kind of get them on there. You know, are you measuring their food?
And it,
you know,
does.
And you know, that's an easy thing you could do. Like, are you measuring and making sure that, you know, they're keeping their weight on based on the food that you're feeding them?
Yeah, we made that mistake with our last pet because we thought we weren't overfeeding her, but they said overweight, so we had to back down. It just seemed like we weren't feeding her enough, but yeah, that's real important. It doesn't take much for a dog to get
overweight.
Yeah, and
that's great, 'cause, you know, feeding guidelines are just guidelines. You know, if you have a couch potato pet, you know, and you're not out there walking them and that kind of thing, or, you know, or they don't like to play a whole lot inside the house or in the backyard, then you might need to back off their, you know, the amount of food that you feed them. And then you just have to monitor it over time. And that's like a really simple, easy thing you can do to be able to kind of help them be healthy. And obviously getting them out there and playing with them more, right? Whether you're playing inside with the cat or giving them the toys that they need to be able to play, or, you know, or one of those cat trees to play on, or, you know, or you're just getting your dog out there to walk, you know, 10, 15 minutes here or there, you know, a couple times a day ends up adding up.
And aren't there some foods, I've been hearing a lot lately about, you know, there's certain types of dog foods, like, I guess, made just with grains or something, that aren't really good for dogs, they are actually bad for dogs?
You know, there's some concern by the FDA about certain dog foods. I don't think that they know exactly all the answers of what's really going on, but they're starting to see some trends that they're concerned about, and so they're not exactly sure why. They think it may be related to grain-free, but they're not exactly sure why. So we're all kind of watching and waiting and continuing to learn about what concerns that they have that may be impacting some dog foods.
And it does seem like there's a lot more choices. You know, I remember when I was young, you basically had, you know, there's two different bags. You choose bag A or bag B, and that was your dog food, and it does seem like you're getting more choices, and some of them are like, some of those dogs are eating better than I am, I think.
Well, you know, that's definitely true. I think as we get more concerned about what we eat, you know, we get more concerned about what our dogs eat. And so it's really, you know, it's really important to, you know, feed a high quality food. You're going to want to look for a food that has, you know, a protein, you know, like, for example, we use chicken in our food, a high quality protein that they're going to be able to have. You want it to be complete and balanced. So you want to see that it has vitamins and minerals in there so that you've got everything in there that they need. And then, you know, there are so many different kinds. You're right. Like, you know, we have small breed and large breed, you know, and medium breed foods. We have small breed senior food. You know, we have, you know, as we talked about, the reduced fat. So there's a lot of different kinds of foods out there so that, you know, you can kind of tailor it to your pet and feel like you're, you know, you're being able to get them what they need, no matter what their age is or their lifestyle.
All right. Now, table food, good or bad?
Well, you know, so I'm, you know, it's kind of tough. I think table foods, you can be well-meaning. I think that, you know, you really want them to be a very little percentage of your food. And so, you know, if you think about it, if you're giving your dog like a piece of bacon, that could be 60 to 100 calories a piece, and it's a lot of fat.
And you're not able to eat it.
Yeah.
So what are you feeding the dog bacon for? Come on now.
So I mean, I think you have to be really careful. And plus, you know, sometimes we think, oh, this is great. Grapes are good for us. We should give our dog grapes. Well, grapes are one of the foods that, for some reason, dogs don't react well to. And actually, they can make them very sick. They can be very toxic. Grapes or raisins, for example. You know, some nuts like macadamia nuts are bad for dogs. You know, obviously, everyone hears about chocolate as being bad for dogs. And the darker the chocolate, the more toxic it tends to be. You know, and again, it depends on how large your dog is and how much they eat. And one of the things we're hearing a lot more about is gum, sugar-free gum that has xylitol in it. And xylitol is actually a preservative or additive that they put in there that actually dogs can't digest. And so that's very toxic to them. So they could eat a few pieces of gum, and that could be very deadly. So it's really important to be careful what they're getting into, and to really, you know. So if you skip doing a lot of that, I mean, there's so many treats and so many options that are out there. It's really, you know, you don't have to really do too much from a human food standpoint.
Yeah. So like, there's certain things we got to child-proof. In our home, there's probably some things that we should dog-proof then when it comes to food.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, and sometimes it's an innocent thing, right? Somebody comes over the house and the dog gets into the purse, kind of a thing. I've personally experienced that. So, and luckily, because I knew that sugar-free gum was bad, a trip to the emergency vet was able to save my dog. But, you know, again, it's really important to kind of keep your eye on what they're doing and kind of watch out for them. And we they're so much a part of our family. We love them so much. We just want to take care of them. And sometimes they, like we talked about earlier, they don't always know what's good for them.
And, you know, you mentioned before pet obesity, and certainly for a lot of folks, getting more exercise, losing weight is a resolution for them. It's a great way to, you know, you and the dog go for a walk together. You can both resolve your resolutions together.
It's really a win-win. I mean, it's a great time because, you know, again, you're both getting exercise and you're getting out there and you know, kind of taking in the fresh air and getting a little bit. I know it's a little more challenging for all of us in Ohio right now,
yeah.
Right? I mean, especially we just got snow last night. I don't know if you guys did.
We're getting a little bit this morning.
Yeah, but not much.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky so far. But I mean, you know, and it could be, you know, and as long as it's above 35 degrees, you know, 32, 34 degrees, you should be able to get out there for at least 10 or 15 minutes and not have any issues. Once it starts getting colder, then it becomes more of an issue that you're going to want to maybe limit the amount of time that you're outside. But certainly it's great to be able to get out and get walking, get that heart beating, and have some fun. And, you know, it's quality bonding time with your dog.
I remember when we were kids, when it snowed, we'd get out the sled and have our dog pull us on the sled. She loved to do it, but she would always pull you into the snowbank and tip you over. And I swear she'd look back and laugh at us. She thought that was hilarious.
She knew that was fun, right?
Oh, yes. She loved to tip that. She'd always find a snowbank and tip us over.
Yes.
She loved that. Yeah. We're talking with Kim Gabeline. She's Senior Marketing Director for Bill Jack Foods. Here talking about New Year's resolutions for your pet. So what about other pets, like, you know, maybe you do have a hamster or a lizard or, you know, a cat that, you know, maybe different options for resolutions for them. Obviously, you know, the food, but, you know, I don't know that people walk cats or lizards, but, you know, what are some other options for maybe different smaller pets like that?
Yeah, you know, I really think it depends. I mean, I think a lot of the same things stand. So in terms of exercise, it may be getting them the kinds of toys, like you were talking about, getting them a wheel, you know, if they have a wheel, or encouraging them, you know, maybe by putting a treat in the wheel and getting them to kind of get on there and get going. you know, that could be a good option. You know, certainly for cats, being able to get them some toys and play with them, you know, that's kind of a really critical, you know, thing to do. And, you know, you kind of take it for granted that you're playing with them, but it's actually a lot of fun, and they can get very involved and get, you know, a little bit more running around and excitement, and little things like that can matter. And, of course, looking at their diets. You know, what are you feeding them? Like you said, with the people food, are you kind of feeding too much of that, and is that getting to be a little bit too much, and then is that affecting their weight? So that's really critical to do. Or maybe there's some things you can do to improve their diet. You know, do a little research and find out how you can maybe feed them a little bit better and help them live a healthy, long life.
Okay, before we, one more thing, Kim, with the cold weather coming, any tips for any pet, especially dogs, since they're the ones that go outside the most, for pets in the wintertime?
Yeah, you know, well, just like we talk about not leaving your dogs in the car in the summer, we also need to think about not leaving them in the car in the winter, right? So it can get very cold very quickly. So it's very important not to take them out when you're going out, you know, just to leave them home and then, you know, find them a little bit later when you get back. It's also really great to think about how much time you're spending outside, like we were just talking about. You know, if it's above 32 degrees, then you normally can go out and spend, you know, 15 minutes to half an hour. Once it starts to get under freezing, though, it's really important, especially when you get below 20 degrees, that you're not out for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You know, I know my dog, when he's out in the snow and it's really cold, you know, he'll be out there walking, and then you'll start seeing them pick up their feet. Like, you know, he'll pick up a third foot or a fourth foot, and then all of a sudden he's not walking anymore. So, you know, pay attention to your dog. You know, there's lots of boots out there that you can get. There's jackets that you can get. So, you know, depending on the kind of dog you have, you know, obviously if it's a husky, you know, or one of the more cold weather dogs, they may not need that kind of protection. But if you have, you know, a smaller dog, you know, or a dog that isn't normally out in the cold, then you're going to want to really limit their activity outside and kind of watch them, and or just take them out yourself so that you can get them back in the house pretty quickly.
Yeah, so big difference between a Chihuahua and a St. Bernard.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Kim Gabeline joining us. She's Senior Marketing Director for Bill Jack Foods. And Kim, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. And go out there. Don't forget, make one or two resolutions. Help your pets live a longer, healthier life this year.
And does Bill Jack provide any resources online for people to look up?
Yeah, you know, come out to our website at billjack.com. It's BILJAC.com. You know, we're here. We started here in Northeast Ohio. That's where we've been, you know, since 1947. So come out, learn about us. We've got a great dog blog out there. You can go out and type in New Year's resolutions or weight control or those kinds of things, and you can find some more information out at the website.
Excellent. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for being with us. Fun talking with you this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.